What's up, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the Super Otaku Show. You are here with a very, well, partially sleepy otaku crew, namely me. But anyway, as always, I am joined by the Shooting Star Sheriff himself. How you doing, Sharif?
Yo, I'm Mr. Good Vibes number one, alright? Taylor's Good Vibes number two. Both wearing Good Vibes it was not planned. I'm doing great. I'm probably the one day guy out of the cast, so I'm okay. I'm great.
Oh man, and of course Taylor made Otaku. How you doing, Taylor?
I'm tired, but I'm good.
Yeah.
And I got the vibes to go with the good vibes. Good Vibes boy number two. How y'all doing?
And my Roman half, how you doing, Aaron?
I'm doing great, and just because you can't see it, I'm definitely wearing a Good Vibes shirt.
I feel left out.
So we got Good Vibes on the stream today. You just have to take my word for it. I would never lie to any of you.
He wouldn't.
It's true.
Nope.
It's true. I'm incapable of lying as an artificial intelligence. It's one of the rules, the Isaac Asimov rules of artificial intelligence. I can't lie, right? That's one of them.
Oh, man. And of course, I am Bear of Roman Bear. And it's been a minute. What's everybody been watching? It's been like 2 weeks since we last got together. I'm going to toss it to you guys for a minute so I can awkwardly sit here and sip my coffee and eat this donut.
Okay.
Scott needs to collect himself.
he's got to collect his thoughts. Okay.
I don't know
so
where I am right now.
I finished Immortal Life of the Immortal Life of the Demon King on Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the Chinese like anime, or it's actually pretty good. It was actually pretty good. I got big Psyche K vibes from it, which it very much is kind of like a Psyche K type mm-hmm. of like shtick. It's a lot of fun if you're looking for like a nice little comedy, like slice of life type of thing. Because I think am I the only one who likes slice of life here?
No, Taylor does. No, we all like slice of life here.
I'll buy up a slice of life.
Okay. Let's just make it.
I've just seen much less of it, so I can't speak on it generally. But I just mostly enjoy the ones I've seen.
Got you. Also, the boys loot crate this month. Well, I don't. I think I've spoken about this before on the podcast. But the anime crates or whatever is doing a limited edition 4-run of Gundam sets. And this month is Iron Blooded Orphans. So I had to buy it because Iron Blooded Orphans is my ish. Not that, and the mecha designs are top tier. Those are top tier mecha designs. So
is anime? Is this like a monthly subscription box service where they send you?
Yeah, anime but this boxes? Is like a limited edition, like 4-run of just like of like 4 Gundam series. They're just calling it the Gundam loot crates. So there's a different theme every month. So this month is gonna be Iron-Blooded Orphans. The one before it was 00 Gundam, which is like my favorite series, and then the other one before it was Gundam Wing.
Don't
look at me like that.
The disdain that Taylor shows for Gundam.
He just doesn't like Setsuna. He just doesn't like Setsuna. He made the right choice.
Fuck off. No, he didn't.
Oh, man.
I actually did start a new anime. Not one of the ones on our list, funnily enough. I started Dr. Stone because I saw it on my list.
Fantastic Aaron move.
Let's go.
Dr. Stone. I was like, because I had it on my list for a while, and I was looking for something to watch during work, even though Crunchyroll doesn't have an English dub yet. But I landed on Dr. Stone. I am enjoying it. It's fun. It's very much just kind of like, it just reminds me of, you know how like you toss out like these weird scenario questions with your friends, like, oh, if you went back in time, like, you know, would you be able to do anything with that, with your information of the future? The answer for most people is just straight up no.
Mm-hmm.
So this is just like one of those weird power fantasies where it's like, what if a guy knew everything scientific? Like, no, he doesn't know just how to engineer things. He's also just good at like biological science. I do like it though. I think it is fairly grounded in terms of like what his limitations are. Like, he is very weak and not good at engineering. He gets like an old man to do his glass molding because he sucks at it. So it's fun. It's a good time. The villain, or the kind of villain of the show, is just really funny to me, just how ridiculously overpowered he is. Yep. They just wake this dude up and he just beats a lion to death with his bare hands with one punch.
He's equally overpowered to Senju. Because he's as smart as he is strong.
But he's also smart. Like, the strong guy's also smart. Like, smart enough to understand basic science to where he, like, is one step ahead of Senju at, like, the first five episodes. Like, what? How do you know how to make gunpowder, strange monkey man who can beat lions to death with his bare hands?
If you can beat a lion to death, you don't need gunpowder. Just saying.
It's game over if they discover gunpowder. I'm like, are you sure, dude?
Dr. Stone is definitely an example of one of the rare exceptions where I undoubtedly prefer the anime to the manga.
I haven't read the manga.
I read the manga and I was like, I don't love this, but I like the concept. And I think the reason for it is because I was like, I feel like I needed to like watch Senju constantly have Eureka moments. And I wanted to see everything in motion. And the other thing is of course, anybody who's read it, there is a shift in the protagonist very rapidly between who the protagonist is probably meant to be and who it becomes. Very rapidly. Because it, you initially think it's his best friend. The first, five chapters completely focus on him.
Yeah.
The first episode is the only thing that really focuses on him, but he's used in the anime perfectly as the framing device for the audience to be.
He's Watson.
Yeah.
He's a Watson. He's there to introduce the real main characters, intellect and character, characteristics. He's a surrogate for the audience to.
Thank you, Tim. This older.
What did Tim say?
Nothing good.
Dr. Stone's interesting. I do kind of, as I am, some of the stuff is a little just kind of weirdly power. It's just like, oh, all the hot girls immediately fall in love with the science man. It's like, yeah, I guess they would, but you put him there purposefully to be that smart and interesting.
Oh, man.
The primitive hot girl who don't know no good. And
I will say this though. I will say this as I'm shuffling cards about. Dr. Stone is probably one of the better isekais in my honest opinion.
It's not really an isekai, right? Like it's on the edge of being one. It's
flirts with it.
It's like isekai adjacent.
It's because he doesn't have to learn any new rules about the world. He's simply using the rules.
He didn't
to
even leave his own world. The world around him just changed.
Yeah. I was wondering about so there's interesting things they explore that I didn't think they would take the time to, like the fact that the Earth has slightly shifted on its axis. And that throws things off, like his attempts to map out where he is. It's like, oh shit, the North Star isn't even where it was before. The whole world has shifted slightly. But yeah, I also really love the fact that there are moments in the anime that have to break the fourth wall to tell you specifically not to do certain things. They're like, they made gunpowder and they're like, this is the real recipe for gunpowder. Please do not make this.
Nope.
Kids, you will pull your limbs off. Yeah, so that's kind of fun because you would think that a show like that might maybe leave some stuff out. Like Breaking Bad had this problem where Breaking Bad, they're making meth, but they purposely leave small parts out to make sure that the audience can't go and try and recreate this character's meth. But this show is like, no, we're just going to show them and then tell them, please don't do this, which would be really funny if Breaking Bad did that. like, geez. Hey kids, this is the real recipe for the highest quality meth. But you tweakers out there, maybe don't do this. It's very dangerous.
Oh jeez. You watched anything else this week, Aaron?
No, I've just been kind of binging a little bit of Dr. Stone. And then I was going to watch, is it Japan Sinks or Tokyo Sinks? Japan Sinks, which my fiance Nina has described to me as a misery fest, which I'm not sure. I need to be in a right frame of mind maybe to watch that one.
No, that, oh my God.
Just don't watch
so
it.
Bad. It's so
I heard it's interesting. Like, it's a interesting show, but it's like a natural disaster type show, right? Where it's like, just one calamity after the other.
So sort of. It's like it's like the movie 2020, but like, or no, it's like the movie 2012, the movie 2020. What if we get a 2020 movie?
With the same characters too.
What if we get a 2020 movie, guys? It triggered the entire world. Yes. Anyway, I digress. No, it's like 2012, but just infinitely way more boring.
So 2020 though. We think it's going to be a disaster movie, and in fact, though, the person who writes it is just going to write it into a weird, quirky rom-com about two people falling in love over a Discord call. Because, like, it's going to be something dumb. Like, they keep ending up, like, somehow they keep, like, they tried some kind of, like, thing, like, some kind of, like, random match video app so you can find a friend to talk to, and that they're going to be each other's randomly a side buddy for the end of the world that is 2020, and then just about them falling in love, and the end credits is them trying to meet up after it goes away in 2022.
I mean, it still wouldn't be as stupid as 2012. 2012 was the dumbest. It was like trying to be a natural disaster movie, but it was just like the natural disaster didn't make any sense. It just was things falling apart and exploding for no reason because the Mayans predicted it. And again, a fundamental misunderstanding of that whole thing.
The calendar and the light up of time. Yeah.
History Channel fucked up so many people's brains. Like, I blame History Channel entirely for people not understanding anything about Mayan or Aztec civilization and thinking aliens just did all of it.
Whew. Aliens.
They're the worst.
When in doubt, if you don't understand something about ancient history, aliens.
Dude, they did understand it. That's the worst part. They were just racist. They were not like, well enough. These people wouldn't be able aliens. To do it.
I like 2012.
Okay.
All right. I don't know why. I like 2012. It's a terrible movie. I agree.
It's fun.
I liked it.
It's a VFX extravaganza.
I mean, can we all agree that 2012 was not as bad as The Happening?
I haven't seen The Happening. I think I know what movie you're talking about.
I can get
behind that though.
Movie I've ever seen in my entire life.
Is it as good as Old?
I don't even know what Old is.
Have we not seen Old?
It's the second movie that I wanted my money back after I saw it.
That's a bad sign.
I don't think I've ever asked for my money back after seeing a movie. Even though that's a very plausible thing to do, like, if you don't like something.
If you saw, like, what did I just say? What was it? The Happening?
Yeah.
And the other movie that made me want to do that is The Village.
Oh, those Village two movies.
I hate that movie. Because I'm in here, I'm in my own like little realm of like thinking like, oh, this is actually something. They send this blind ass girl out in the middle of the woods by her damn self to find some I forgot what it was.
All right.
Find some cure or some
we're gonna
whatever
read,
for her husband.
Make The Village in an anime. It's gonna be epic.
I was going to say The Village does kind of work as an anime.
It would look horrifying. Like, imagine some, like, Junji Ito style, like, art.
You know how I was going to say, if it was
when she found a highway.
To be honest, though, like, Junji Ito stories are hard. Like, think about trying to translate most Junji Ito stories because they're so dumb on the face of it. Like, they discover man-shaped holes that people just start crawling into. Like, the thought of that's just really silly. but like it's horrifying for different reasons. Like it, there's a lot going on there that makes it scary. But like the concept just sounds stupid. Like a dude yeah. starts turning into a snail. Like, okay, I guess
straight
that's kind of creepy.
Kafka nonsense.
That's kind of awful. If you just turn into a snail.
I'll turn into a snail.
Taylor, what anime have you been watching, cuz?
Yeah, bring us out of this weirdness we've fallen into.
Before I do that, have I told you all that I read Chainsaw Man?
Oh yeah, yeah you mentioned yeah. it last time.
Did I go over that? Okay.
Yeah, you said you didn't. You didn't like it as much as it was being hyped.
I still love Power.
Yeah, I. It was okay.
I'm still very excited.
So much.
I'm excited to see the anime.
Yeah, I think the anime is going to be a lot better than the manga is. I don't know what it was about. I could explain what it was about the manga I didn't like, but we got that kind of time. For the first time last night, I watched this. I watched the first episode of this show. I think it came out last year. I want to say it came out last year. And the funny thing is, like, I make like videos called like Hype Train when I talk about like the five anime each season I'm hyped to see. And this one was on the Hype Train. I never fucking watched it. So there is that. But I watched the first episode too. I think it's like the Sleepy Princess is in the castle or something. Mm-hmm. Like Sleepy Princess in the Demon Castle or something like that.
You know what? I think I remember you talking about that in one of your videos. I remember that.
Yeah. And pretty much what it's about, it's about like this land of peace and everybody's happy and all good vibes. And this was not planned, by the way. This is just a coincidence.
Good vibes.
And all of a sudden the demon lord shows up and he's like, ha ha ha, give me control of your domain. And he steals he kidnaps the princess. Hold on, wait a minute. I didn't say that right. He kidnaps the princess. And he's like, if you want her back, give me control. And then he takes her back to the castle, and she's in this castle, and she's just chilling. She gets, like, 3 meals a day, 5 course, good, actually good meals. And she's like, I'm so bored. There's nothing to do here except sleep. So she's like, it's cool. I like to sleep. But she's not getting, like, a good night's sleep. So basically, the show can be summed up as, and she's a menace to all of these demons.
Oh my God.
She's a menace to all these demons. Like, she knows, her pillow is not, like, as soft as she would like it to be. It's not a good pillow. So, there's these two, like, little cute-ass, like, little teddy bear demon things that bring her food. And she looks at them and she goes, I bet they're soft. So she pulls out a knife.
Sam is taking a turn. I like how we started from Demon King, but we got darker.
No, no. And she's like, there's probably a better way to do this. So then she takes a brush and she starts brushing the bears and taking like their fur. And the bears are loving this, by the way. And she's like, oh, you like to get brushed? And they're like, yeah. She's like, give me the keys to the cell that you have, and I'll do this for you every single day. And they're like, bet. So they give her the keys to her cell. So she just breaks out of her cell, and she just starts walking around the castle. It's
a very weird fairy tale.
So like she
this
goes,
is weird.
Like she leaves to find like a good like pillow, like thing to put like all stuffing and stuff in. She finds it and she goes back to like a room to lay down on the pillow.
What is this?
She just wants to find a place to sleep.
But all of this while she's out of the cage, the demons are freaking out because the princess isn't in her cage. And then it gets back to like the demon lord, and he's like, is it true that she's just walking around the fucking castle? And they're
why is like, this like the weirdest mix of like Sleeping Beauty, Beauty and the Beast, It's got it's so, so many funny. Different fairy tale vibes going on.
It's so funny because they're like, yeah, she got out, she was walking around, but she's back in there now. And like the Demon King's like, let me go talk to this chick. She might just be running around my castle like this. So he runs up and he's like, he opens the cell door and he's about to start yelling at her, but then she's lying there and she's asleep. And she's so cute while she's sleeping, he's just staring at her, just like, he's trying to stay mad, but he can't. And one of his underlings are just like, you want to try this again tomorrow? And he's like, yeah, don't wake her up. And he just walks away. But that's like one of the like three things she does to these demons in the span of one episode. Basically, she's just a menace to everybody in that castle.
That's great.
Beautiful. I also started reading Spy X Family.
It's good.
My boy.
I need to read more of it.
The word adorable does not... It doesn't do it justice.
Well, okay, well, I'm going to try it because I've never heard of this. I'm going to try just going off a title to see if I can nail down the story. Mm-hmm. Is it about an adorable family of spies? Like, this spyhood runs in their family. Like, they're all, like, training each other to be spies. No. Oh, damn it. I thought I could get this. Spy X Family just sounds exactly right.
you started off on the right note by saying it's a cute family.
That's that seems as...
it's a cute one. I think I found out about it from... Eyepatch Wolf. I think it was in one of his more recent videos talking about it. But yeah, the premise is really good. I don't know if it ever get an anime adaptation, but
I think it is.
Is it? Because that would be adorable. I think it has the right amount of like really nice artwork and everything.
Yeah, it got confirmed. I think the anime is supposed to be debuting next year.
Dope. Yeah,
I think so.
Yeah, I guess
that's what I heard.
I guess the elevator pitch is that it's about a spy who needs a family and inadvertently recruits a little psychic girl and an assassin to be his cover, and they slowly realize being a family is nice.
I feel like I could have gotten that. I was close.
You would have got the psychic part.
Not the psychic part. That's kind of out of left field sounding.
Adorable.
Yep. It's like super cute and wholesome. Like the whole like first arc is about getting her into a really nice preschool.
Yep. And it's adorable.
Sounds right.
It's adorable.
Precious.
What have I been watching this week? I watched a bunch of things. Nothing. None of the things I was supposed to. But I've been watching, I finally found and decided to watch most of Konosuba, and I get the memes now, because the Konosuba memes were invading Twitter the other day, I guess because season 3 got announced.
Let's go!
I now understand, like, why it's so funny.
Let's go!
I now understand... It's the Beatles! I played the explosion sound for chat. You guys don't get to hear it again. Darkness is my favorite by a mile.
Let's go.
The like absolute dedication to her kink is so impressive. She will die for it.
She knows what she wants. She's here for it.
I have so much respect for that. You do you. I get the guy. It's a very fun, very funny show. I understand the lulls. So I've been watching that. I have made it to season 2 of How Not to Summon a Demon Lord, so I can watch this double summon edition, so I can see why it couldn't be aired on TV, because I'm a terribly curious pervert.
So I gotta watch the second season.
It you know what's funny is that it's not really, and I think the animation studio might have changed, and they changed the way they hide things. And it's basically, like, in the live, like, the TV airing version, they did a lot of stuff like hiding, like, any, like, revealing shots through, like, extra bright light and things like that. And it just got rid of that. So it's pretty... Aaron, do you have, like, a connection issue or something right now? I hear, like, a constant white noise.
And it's yeah, just... same. I don't know who it's coming from, though.
And it's only Sharif and you that have, like, the bar is constantly lit. I think it's from Sharif's side, then. I don't know what's going on.
It might be me. It might be me.
Did, like, your air kick on or something? I don't know.
Yeah, my AC just kicked on.
That's what it is. That's what we're hearing. Because it's a constant white noise. There it is.
Yep.
If it's constant, it can be fixed.
Yep.
Now hold on. Hold on.
If Bear ever learns how to get rid of noise in post.
Yeah, like, in post is one thing, but, like, not...
Not live.
Not live. Impossible. Anyway.
Impossible.
It is possible if I had a full audio setup, but I don't.
Yeah, what the heck? Why don't you have a full audio setup?
I know, right?
Come on,
I'm
Bear.
Not cool enough.
Are you producing this show, or
no.
Aren't you?
No. I just did buttons and hope it works.
Take a leap of faith.
Exactly. Good call. So I've been watching that, and I've been getting a good kick out of that. And finally, I've been watching Metabots.
Hey,
what the hell is Metabots?
Metabots.
Okay.
Yo, cuz, does this remind you of our episode that we did?
Yeah.
So again, like as another quick shout out, because I love this company. They've been around for a minute, but, like, they've been doing some really dope stuff the last, like, year or two. Is Discotech Media makes these now. They're standard edition, like, standard definition Blu-rays, because a lot of these old school cartoons that, like, we grew up on don't have HD, like, they don't exist in HD because they weren't made in HD. Like, the like, 720 is the best you can get, and none of them are in full frame.
Struggle was real.
So... they've been doing these cool Blu-ray sets where they have, like, entire seasons on a single disc for, like, $30-$40. And Metabots is, if anybody doesn't know, because you're either too small or Aaron. Aaron grew up in another country.
I was living in Metabots.
Well, over there it's called Metarot, which is a much less good name.
Damn, dog.
Yeah. Metabot, it's one of the few times where the translation to America is the better version. But anyway, Metabots is a pocket, like, it's another collectible, like, battle toy anime about these small robot, like, little robots, they're, like, 2 foot tall, that you fight with, called Metabots. They're powered by metal, so their name is literally Metal Robot. And, like, it's great. It teaches you that gambling is fun. That, like,
as many do.
Exactly. If you do something, you need to put something on the line. So in this, it's your hard-earned toys. If you play against somebody else, you have to bet. You either play for parts, or you pay for medals, or you play for pinks, which is, you know, you just give the guy your robot when you lose, just like your car. Oh,
that's sad.
Well, you know what? Just remember, you never had me. You never had your robot. I'm going to turn everything in Metabots into a Fast and the Furious reference somehow, and it's going to be great. So the thing with the Metabots that I do want to say is that it is an unexpectedly good anime. It has some, like, really solid animation and everything in it. Like, way faster than a lot of the, like, the stuff that we... Like, if you go, like, watch some Pokemon or even Digimon, Monster Ranch, or any of those ones that are other, like, monster collector toy-type ones... they're all good, but, like, the animation is just better in Metabots. And Metabots is also funny. It has, like, a lot of, like, silly, like, punny humor and everything, but it's genuinely good. And by the time, like, you start getting to the end of the season, it's great.
Like the referee.
Oh, Mr. Referee,
the referee
is
so
my dream.
Lit, dog.
If I did anything in this world, I would want to be Mr. Referee.
Oh, you just show up out of nowhere.
Yep.
So it is agreed. Now this will be a new robot battle.
So, So for all of our Arabs out there, in this world, there is like a like national like Metabots like association that is all the that has like a tournament, an international tournament, and everything. And for all of Japan, there is one referee, and his name is Mr. Referee, and he shows up to referee every single meta fight, even the ones against the bad guys. Like when they fight like villains in the show. Like, legitimately, like, these guys are, like, doing something terrible. Like, they've just stolen everybody's, like, medals and, like, broken into a warehouse and flown away with in a helicopter with a prototype. Like, he shows up and it was like, I am Mr. Referee. I need to get in. He's literally in the episode trying to, like, get inside. And he announces the robot battle
for this.
Before. Yeah, it's great.
He was made to be the referee.
And
he has no choice.
He's just this, like, phenomenal. Gray-haired older man with a mustache.
The first episode, he just shows up at the top of a flagpole.
No explanation.
This dude's cool. I love him.
It's amazing.
He's now my favorite character out of any anime. He's that cool.
I'm going to have to put him up there. Why are you joking? I'm going to have to put him up there. I love that dude.
S-tier. S-tier character.
We're going to do our tier character rating review.
We need to do a tier list for one of these podcast episodes.
I'm 1,000% down for that.
We'll be here for like 8 hours. That's going to be like an 8 hour stream.
It would need to be like a very specific thing.
It has to be very specific.
We would need to do a specific thing. We would need to gather the assets beforehand and make probably one of you three do it. Not because I can't be trusted.
We could do tournament arcs in Shonen.
That's a good one.
But there's so many.
That would be a good one.
That's a good one.
So many tournament arcs.
All right.
How many good ones are there?
I mean, that's the thing. You gotta put all the ones we remember, because we gotta also have our F tier and our why the fuck tier.
Yeah, there's one below F tier, and it's just the sad tier. Just the worst tier. Also, Kit, by the way, I was very tempted to do this, but I wanted to ask you guys first. Are y'all familiar with a YouTube channel called Beyond the Bot?
Yes. My favorite YouTuber is on there.
I think so.
Kurt Ritchie's on it.
Beyond the Bot is a great anime YouTube channel, and I was thinking about maybe reaching out to see if some of their hosts, because I guess there's a ton of hosts. To see if a few of their hosts wanted to join us sometime, because they're really fun. I really like their stuff. I got into their channel. I saw a video called Foodie Cootie and Masculinity, which is done by this really cool dude. And then I watched the tier list they made of all the character design costume designs in My Hero, which was absolutely hysterical.
That sounds funny.
Dude, they put Deku in like D tier. They're like, it's like he looks like Gumby. Put him at the bottom.
I mean, Deku's my nephew, but hey.
Yeah, true though. As long as they put Yudaka in S tier, so I was like, okay, alright, they get it. She understands the assignment.
I'll never unsee it.
Oh man.
Deku and Gumby, I'll never unsee it now. I'll never unsee it. It's now burned into my brain.
And Gumby was lit, though.
I always hated Deku's like costume design, but it got slightly better because I like his gloves and I love the boots. And like the green's not bad, but there's so much going on in his costume that I'm like, we need to simplify
this. Is it because he wears a one-piece jumpsuit? Is that what it is?
No, like
he wears a one-piece jumpsuit based on a hoodie he wore as a little kid that makes him look like a really cheap, like chintzy Halloween.
To be fair, his mom made his first costume. We can't get mad at, you know, like his mom is a gem, and we should never make fun of his costume.
She is very beautiful.
She did her best.
And raising Deku made her fat.
She's just a single parent. Like she just
did.
She turned into a little woman.
That's how stressful raising Deku is. Just remember that.
I think that's just what single parents, you know, it's hard. It's hard being a single parent.
Oh, it is. And Deku's that much worse.
He's not even fat. Anko got fat.
Can we not bring that up?
I don't like it either.
Can we just excuse all of that? Where's also, my animator?
Rita's still fine though.
Also, I want to have specifically one of the female guests on because they made a tier list of top anime daddies, and they put Mace Hugh in S tier, and I have words for this person.
Yeah.
I'm like, you can't knock King Bradley for being a Hitler stand-in, but not dock Mace Hugh's points for being a Nazi stand-in. Like, you can't do that. They're both the part of the same group.
Nah, he's a good Nazi.
He helped commit genocide.
Are you saying that Mace Hugh does not deserve to be?
Have you not seen my Full Metal Alchemist video? I literally start with fuck Mace Hugh's.
Aaron's a monster. And while Taylor's gone.
He's gone. And with that being said, let's jump into some anime news.
Let's get some anime news.
First things first. So normally I have a very nicely curated list of anime news from all the places we like to gather anime news across the internet. But this week I didn't do no work because I overslept and I'm bed. So we're gonna be we're doing it live, and I'm just scrolling randomly roulette style through one of the many anime sites I have. First things first. Number one in some of the New York Times bestseller stuff right now for August is Chainsaw Man, My Hero, and Attack on Titan, just tearing up the charts. That's fun.
Yeah, I wanted to bring up the fact that, like, I know I said before that Attack on Titan was getting more popular, but it is wild how far it's reached.
Yes.
Just to, like, people who would never watch anime in any circumstance are, like, making TikToks about how they're now watching Attack on Titan because it's so compelling to them. And I'm like, well, maybe you should watch some other animes, too, because, like, there's better ones. But also, yeah, I find Attack on Titan's popularity very interesting. In fact, I kind of want to do a video specifically, not about the, like, weird stuff in Attack on Titan, though I want to talk about that. I want to talk about why Attack on Titan has gotten as far as it has, because its themes are a bop,
and that's all you need.
The theme songs? Yeah.
Attack on Titan, and I will often be like, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
Yeah, no, the entire soundtrack for Attack on Titan is S tier. Like, it's beyond good. All of it. And, like, my favorite TikToks are the ones where it's, like, some dude that's like, I don't want to work out today, and then all of a sudden it's the captain on the screen, like, screaming, like, let's go, and the music starts playing, and he just, like, rises out of his bed.
Oh, man.
Starts pumping iron.
The Attack on Titan, like, memes and, like, the TikToks and stuff have been funny.
They're so good, though. Like, they're genuinely funny.
Yeah.
So, another thing, it's not oddly anywhere on this news, maybe it was announced earlier than I realized, but Bleach is returning, again, it's the re-return, with Adult Ichigo.
No.
I was gonna say, I remember that they said something about there's gonna be, like, a new chapter for Bleach coming out soon, is that right?
Yep, so I'm gonna Google this real quick to see if I can find
I was gonna, cause you might... Cause you might want to leave. We talking about Bleach.
He's gotta get I got to leave.
Taylor, wait. Taylor, wait. No, I got good news for you after. I found a new story just for him. I found one just for him.
What about Bleach?
To let you know, I brought you something that's good news, too. For after the Bleach news. We have to get through the Bleach first. Okay? So the Bleach news is just that it's Bleach's 20th anniversary, and despite the fact that Taikubo made Burn the Witch and apparently everybody loves it, he's gonna just make more Bleach instead. there's a new arc coming out it's a new chapter. It's apparently a 73-page chapter for Bleach, which is about three like normal manga chapters.
Okay, can I throw this out there real quick? I would actually love this if instead of Ichigo facing, like, a new, even more powerful enemy, he's, like, because he's reached the pinnacle of, like, strength in this world, he has to, like, go back to living, like, a normal life and has to get, like, a job and he's just working at like a fast food joint, even though he's the most powerful Soul Reaper.
In all seriousness, I would be okay if this was kind of like a normal days type arc, right? Like it's a nice big look at like where is everybody 10 years on? Because like why Bleach is a flawed show, and I have a lot of issues with it. I still really like Bleach because it's one of, you know, it's one of the big three. I think it's a thing that a lot of us grew up on. Like, I grew up being super in love with, like, DBZ and Naruto and Bleach and One Piece. And, like, funny enough, like, nobody would know this now, but growing up, like, One Piece was my bottom tier out of those three shows. And yeah, I loved Bleach and Naruto so much more because, like, cool swords and ninjas.
The only reason I find this whole conversation funny is because I can literally just hear Taylor, like Taylor's channel, like his comment section, just intensifying right now.
People are somehow like typing comments on a video that doesn't exist yet.
Because Cuz has made it abundantly clear that nobody's watching Bleach, so I can just hear his comment section right now.
No, like honestly, like I've tried to rewatch Bleach, and if I really got into it, I would probably be able to make it through the Soul Society arc, and that's it.
Yeah,
that was same,
peak.
Same.
That was peak Bleach. That was really peak with Soul Society.
Mm-hmm. And even that, there are just times where it's like, oh my god, are we still grinding here? Like, bro.
Yeah.
I can see Taylor suffering, though. So I think I'm going to give him some good news.
Give him some good news.
So Uzaki-chan Wants to Hang Out is officially getting a new season next year.
Yay!
So it's not far away. It's not going to be like 6 years that we got to wait, Taylor.
There's the good vibes.
Let's go.
The good vibes are back.
I like Uzaki-chan.
I really liked that show. It was super endearing.
It was. It was a nice show.
The My Hero Academia movie came out in Japan, and evidently it's doing really well.
Another one?
It's the secret ops mission with Bakugo, Deku, and Todoroki.
Yep.
So
I guess
you start off with Bakugo, so I'm immediately not interested.
Oh, yeah, I forgot you.
So, I'm just happy that in the anime they literally have finally done something. Mm-hmm. Like, it's been, like, 6 episodes of just not doing anything. They're just, like, running around the city, unable to catch up with fucking Endeavor.
Yep. So another piece of news that you guys brought to my attention is, of course, the Olympics were last week, and there was a ton of unexpected nerd culture support, not just at the Olympics, with all of the dope anime and, Japanese video game intros. Things like Demon Slayer and Digimon getting played and a whole bunch of other stuff. But, like, the amount of people doing different, like, anime poses and just, like, nerd things in general. My two favorite... I don't remember what the one guy is from, what sport he was playing. I couldn't find it. But he did the Frankie Super Pose, which is so much cooler than doing any main character pose. You do some Frankie Super shit. That's my jam.
Yeah, I love that. There was the guy who did Gear 2nd. There was one guy, I think he was, like, doing, like, a sprint. And, like, midway through the sprint, he did Gear 3rd. I was like, what is this guy doing? The memes that are coming from just the Olympics alone is just amazing. I think there was a guy doing, like, Shadow Clones. He was doing Shadow Clones. Like, it's great. Like, the amount of weeb.
I want in some sort of one of the fighting sports, like wrestling or judo or something, I want one of them to do that, you know, the comic book where the guy goes, Kamehame, and the other guy just gives up, and then in the press conference, he's like, I was almost sure he couldn't do it, but I didn't want to take any chances.
So, I think one major opportunity was missed at the Olympics, and that's that I think all of the sprints should have been done in Naruto run.
Make the fastest people on Earth have to run like ninjas.
Oh my god, that would have been great.
We could have found out if they were actually more aerodynamic. It would have been the perfect moment to scientifically prove that running like a ninja makes you fast.
Have you ever seen the video where like this, it's like this weeb channel and they go to like an act, the only real world ninja left in Japan, and like bombard him with like Naruto questions, and he's like, no, that's stupid. It's like, that's not how ninjas run.
That's amazing.
It's great. He's so cool. He's like, you have to, he's like, I have to be able to dislocate my shoulder on command, you know, just in case like I'm in like a bind or something. And also the way they run is they like basically just pull their knees up very high. And he's like, the reason you do that is because you're operating at night and you can't see anything. And if you're like shuffling on the ground, you might trip over something. So you have to be able to feel something before you like trip over it. You got to bring your legs up, make sure you're not tripping over shit.
That's neat. So I have a final piece of news, and then we're going to move into our actual top of the show. And it's a topical one. It fits because it is a mecha-based thing. The Megaton Musashi new franchise from Level 5 officially has a start time for its anime and a launch date for the video game, though not a Western release, because Level 5 doesn't release anything simultaneously. So Megaton Musashi, the anime, is coming out, I believe it's October 20th, or something along those lines, but November 11th in Japan, the PS4 and Switch game comes out. I think it looks really cool. If anybody ever saw their LBX game, Little Battlers Experience, it was very much a Metabot-style game, except for with even smaller robots. They're like actually like the size of a coffee cup, and they were customizable, and you fought in like arenas and stuff. Actually, a lot like Custom Robo. Did anybody ever play Custom Robo?
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
Sharif's got me.
I got you.
So the actual like combat system for the game is very much along those lines. It's really neat looking, and yeah, I'm excited for that one. I hope we get a Western release. So, but with that,
yeah,
it's time for the top of the show. Yeah.
No, wait. We left out one thing that we told we said no! We were going to talk about at the top of the show.
You should have interrupted me before I did a mecha thing. I have a lead in.
No, I set your myself lead-ins mean up. Nothing to me. Oh my God. Transitions mean nothing.
Somebody fire Aaron.
Just switch it around in post.
Switch it in post.
We gotta talk about Pokemon Unite. The sad
God
news.
Damn it.
For anybody who doesn't know, Scott, could you please quickly describe what Pokemon Unite is?
It's MOBA Ket Ball.
Mm-hmm. Okay, can you maybe give it a bit broader definition?
All right, Pokemon Unite is a free-to-play MOBA that is more like a MOBA infused with basketball. MOBAs being a pretty major genre of video games, you can Google that. But you play as Pokemon characters in these little stadiums. It's a very, very fun game. One of the like most fun, silly, like offshoot Pokemon games I've ever played, but it is egregiously pay to win, and it has all of the crazy monetization systems in it.
It's literally took all the ones we've been like talking about over the course of video game, like recent video game history, and went, let's just put them all in there.
Yeah, so like, I wish I had it pulled up. There's a very good article written by somebody who like actually makes the like monetization systems for games, and they came out being like, this is gross and egregious. Most games have one to two forms of monetization, right? It's normally like if you look at Fortnite, right, there are two. You can buy cosmetics or you can buy your battle pass. That's it,
right?
Which
and that
is
doesn't
fair.
Actually affect the play. That doesn't give you any significant tactical advantage or anything like that.
Aaron, when I play as the Mandalorian, I shoot gooder.
You shoot better when I'm the Mandalorian.
Say it's gooder. More gooder.
We'll put this to the test for sure.
I got, yo, there's this dope headshot clip of me somewhere on the internet. I
watch that. It was a good headshot. Good job.
But there are five forms of monetization, I believe it is, in this game. You can buy a battle pass, You can buy the currency for the in-game. You can buy... So basically, like, with the currency, you can buy cosmetics. You can buy items that are required to power up your character. You can buy the item to power up those items by buying real-life, like, money with real-life currency. You can buy new Pokemon, which are just, like, getting you new characters. So, like, right there, like, that's four different forms of monetization.
And
it's a lot.
And much like Fortnite, like, you can get those in-game currencies by grinding, but the amount of time you would need to grind to get a significant enough amount to even match, like, the beginning level of players who are just, you know, paying for it would be ridiculous. You'd have to be there all day, every day, which is kind of how the game is designed. It's really designed to keep you sucked in and playing. And I think what makes it more egregious is it's Pokemon. So it's like, this is not a, like, there's no barrier to entry for, like, children, because they can operate on the Switch, which already has a credit card attached to the game that you're playing with, unlike some others where you can kind of bar that easier. It's Pokemon. Like, kids play it. It's gambling for children, because there's also loot boxes and a ton. Like, it's not just one in-game currency. There are, like, five in-game currencies.
Yeah.
It's wild.
And it's one major currency that they use to trickle down to the other things, which is shifting.
It's like the gems, right?
But the game is super fun. So, like, if you want to play, just go in and, like, know, like, hey, it's super pay to win. And you will not get anything. You will not earn anything after the 14-day trial. Or the 14 days, starting thing.
Yeah. And you know you're going to end up spending money on it because you want to get your Om Nom some nice fucking swag.
Yo, like, I earned...
spend money on Om Nom swag.
I spent $4 to buy the Battle Pass only.
Here it comes.
And I have earned... I am up to, like, 10 Pokemon. I am an expert rank player. And I have the full Snorlax outfit. That's all I will ever need. I spent only $4 on this game. Everybody out there spending hundreds of dollars upgrading your items. Nah.
You're just going to end up seeing, though, you're going to see, like, a Snorlax in, like, the cutest jacket. And you're like, wait, I don't have that jacket. What the shit?
Nah, my Snorlax wears sunglasses and a swimmy ring because he don't float.
Yeah, of course. If you're not familiar with, like, monetization in video games, there's a lot more to it that we can't, like, go into here, but, like, there's a lot of psychological stuff, like fear of missing out, that plays into, like, wanting to get cosmetic items. Like, if you tell somebody, it's like, well, you can buy cosmetic items and they don't necessarily do anything for your character, people will usually think, okay, that's fine, because that's just about customizing your character the way you want. But what they'll do also is they have, like, timed things where it's like, oh, you can only get this cosmetic for, like, a certain period of time. If you don't get it, you don't have it. Sorry. And, like, people click. Like, they'll get it.
What's trying to say is that it's too big a topic for us to tackle here. But you know what's not too big a topic? Mechs.
I think that's way bigger.
It is way bigger.
We are talking about mecha anime today.
Sure.
Does anybody have a,
I'm blaming you for this
definition of mecha? Like,
why do you blame me?
Definition of mecha. Go ahead, Taylor. Give us your definition of mecha anime. You gotta say big robots.
It's my good word. Big ass robots.
So for
doing big ass robot things.
For the layman out there, that is a very simple
is that not what they are? They're giant robots.
So, like, at the start of mecha anime is a bit more broad, but, like, when we talk about it, we're usually referring to large human powered robots or suits of armor, or, like, even biologically and mechanized systems. But it is a large genre that covers a ton of sci-fi anime. It's very much about the marriage between people and robotics in a very general sense. Like, Ghost in the Shell can be technically considered a mecha anime. And I would say that mecha, unlike most genres
that's not
of anime,
true. That's
it's
a lie.
True. No, it's true. Like when mecha, when the term mecha was coined, it just meant mechanical anime. It wasn't specifically robot anime.
No.
And mecha.
The game has changed.
Is this one of those things?
The definition
where
evolved.
It had an original meaning, and then it got over here, and as Americans were Americans, and said this means giant robots now.
Actually, mecha comes from an English word in Japanese. They used it instead of what they were using to define that genre.
Which
there.
Anime is animation in French?
Mechanicuri. that's it. Just means mechanical. So it's mechanical anime, and. What it's kind of distilled to is mainly giant robots fighting giant monsters or other giant robots. But I don't know. I would say mecha is a very... It's unlike other genres, I think it's very uniquely a Japanese genre. Even the very first anime was, like, at the time considered a mecha anime. It's Astro Boy. It's a mechanical boy. He's literally
Gigantor,
a robot boy.
Isn't Gigantor older than him?
Yeah. What? Gigantor?
Are we asking what's the first anime ever made?
is that basically, yeah. I'm pretty.
Mainstream anime was Astro Boy.
Google. What was the first anime ever made?
No, here we go.
Exchange.com.
What?
The first anime that aired in Japan was Astro Boy.
Astro Boy.
There it is.
Yeah, Astro Boy was the very first published anime. And it's in their DNA. Like it's in anime's DNA. And a lot of mecha kind of developed out of the technological boom that happened immediately following World War II, where they were basically reconstructing and technology became a major factor in their progression back to a status quo of sorts. So I don't know, like it's a very Japanese genre. Like it is kind of tied to anime in a very unique way that other genres I wouldn't say are. So I don't know what, so I guess the first thing I'll pose to you guys is what was your very first mecha anime or a mecha anime that kind of, got you into the genre as a whole?
I have a question.
Oh, please.
Everybody else answer this before you get to me.
Would you consider Speed Racer a mecha anime?
No, that one doesn't quite cross the threshold for what they considered mecha at the time. Mainly because it's not a robot. It's not a like robot in.
But you just said it was like mechanics.
Yeah, but a lot of it boils down to like robots, like technological robots and or cyborgs in that kind of type of, it's broad, but it is like they do try and make little definitions as they go.
Yeah,
so it's
like,
not just like, do you have a robot type thing?
Yeah, because
I mean the Mach 5 did everything but talk. So
yeah, it's a car. Like it is like just a normal, like I think also I guess maybe has to have a little more. It's when like the main character or main MacGuffin is a like. I always go with giant robot like that. If it is
usually,
a robot.
Usually, it's set in a futuristic setting, where technology has kind of advanced past a point.
The
of,
best
like,
mecha
normal...
ever made is not set in a futuristic setting, but we'll get to that one.
Ooh, I'm actually curious. What would that be? No, I kind of want to know. Like, which one is are you referring to?
Well, it's the best one. It's the best thing Americans ever made. Which
Jesus
it might
Christ.
Have been made by
Correct.
Canadians. Megas XLR.
All right, moving on. also, I guess before we
don't.
Move on,
they put that in the show.
Before we move on, I will say that like mecha has become a very adopted genre amongst like Western audiences. Obviously, we have film franchises like Pacific Rim, which are pretty much entirely influenced by the mecha anime genre. And it seems like we'll be getting a lot more stuff like that in the future. People piloting giant robots is a fun genre that I think translates well over here.
Yeah.
Pacific Rim.
It was going to be the first one to answer the question.
Oh, Taylor, why don't we start with you? What was your first experience with mecha anime?
My first experience with mecha anime, based on the definition that I was given, would be Escaflowne.
Escaflowne. I haven't heard of that one.
That is an unexpected
one. Old as hell.
Yeah, Escaflowne is not what I expected, because that one's like dark and bloody.
It is literally the first anime I ever watched at the age of 6.
That's wild. That's like how at like the age of like 6 I watched Akira, because I just saw that it was an anime movie coming on pay-per-view.
Akira was different.
I blame Akira for a lot of the reasons that I'm a weird fucking dude.
Yeah, Akira is a very strange anime.
Okay, Lubu Gundam here. I need you. Or
I will reiterate.
Escaflowne was the first thing I ever first. It's the first anime I ever watched. Was also the first mecha anime that I ever watched.
That's pretty wild.
Nice. Yeah. Scott, what about you? What was your first mecha experience?
Okay. Since I'm gonna assume the Power Rangers don't count.
Actually, I don't know. I think they count. The giant robot that makes that.
They have giant robots.
That's true.
That form a bigger giant robot.
There it is.
That then form a bigger giant robot.
So the first like mecha anime specifically that I watch is Gundam Wing. The Gundam Wing series. I was obsessed with it as a kid. I thought it was like super cool. I thought Gundam Wing was like the strongest thing ever. Hell, it might be one of the strongest Gundams, because that double beam rifle and endless waltz is fucking disgusting. Like barrier busting ending cities levels of disgusting. But
yeah.
So like I it's why I like Gundam, even though like I generally struggle with a lot of the animes nowadays. It has cemented my love of like that design, that aesthetic.
He had wings.
You know, pretty boys in short shorts. Hiroyui's pants were way too small.
It had everything.
That's why he was always
too small. He had no bulge.
No, that's why he was so on edge.
Wow.
Like,
he's the guy.
Why are we talking about little boys' bulges right now on this channel? The police are coming any minute. The FBI is at
so
my door.
So you made it about little boys.
just see somebody rappel into Taylor.
To be fair, Hiroyui was like 10 years older than me when I watched that show.
Yeah, he was 7, 17, 18?
Yeah, something like that. They're all like mid to late teens. And I think they're late teens, early 20s in Endless Waltz. No, because Endless Waltz is actually only like a year after.
Yeah.
Right, it's like not a big time jump, but that's big another story. Aaron, you take it, and then we can give it to Sharif so we can all just stare as the Mecha Man takes it away.
Well, he actually kind of gave me my answer, because I almost forgot about it, but Power Rangers, I think, would be my first, even though like I was surrounded by Gundam. I don't think I ever engaged with the actual story stuff. I just saw them as, I thought they were cool toys. They were models. They were everywhere. You go into like any toy shop and it was just stacked from floor to ceiling with just Gundams. And I thought Gundams were the coolest thing in the world. And then I tried to build one once and I didn't know what the fuck I was doing. And I got really mad and I never engaged with Gundam ever again.
Yeah.
So I think I would say Power Rangers, because, I mean, that kind of epitomizes the genre for me, is just the giant robot fighting big monsters. And it's kind of how a lot of that anime would work, right? Like, it's a giant robot, you get a monster of the week, and they fight the giant monster in their giant robot. Or their giant robots.
I want to build a new Gundam now in the worst way, but my tools are bad. I need new tools.
All right, so we got Sharif over here who's looking real hype. Real hype to talk mecha. Let's give it to Sharif.
Real quick, TM, don't worry. We will get to Zoids. That's coming.
I was gonna say no one brought up Zoids, and I was about to talk about it.
It wasn't my first one. I thought that was the question.
It wasn't my first question. Yeah, we're only on the first question. Hold on, but before we start, I need to grab something.
Okay, Sharif's going to get props.
No, Arthur.
He's got a full-fledged Gundam suit that he's hopping into now as we speak.
It's funny.
You know how lit that would be?
Yeah, very lit. There we go.
That looks so terrifying.
It's so intimidating.
Is the Gundam Wing Zero from the Endless Waltz. This is the Master Grade. I bought this like a month ago. I haven't started it, but I will. Because it's going to go in my case over here with all my other Gunpla. So,
do I have that exact same thing?
Huh?
I might. So, I don't know.
I'm going to start making Sharif tweet out a picture of a Gundam every week. He's going to do Mecha Mondays.
If you want to see... Hold on. I'll be right back. Hold on.
This is the secret reason we're doing this topic, is we just want to see how many things Sharif can put on his desk in front of his face.
My dog is tip-tapping everywhere. Go lay down. Go lay down, girl. You're fine. The other day... Hold on. Okay. So the other day, I was actually really, really bored. Because there's currently like a Gunpla shortage. So I've been building SD Gundams, and I found this little guy in the store the other day. Little SD Gundam.
That is adorable.
He's a cop. Look, he's even got a badge on his head.
That's so cute. Are you kidding me?
Yes. So
Japan can make a robot cute.
Yeah.
So I don't normally build SD Gundams, but yes, if you haven't figured out, I love Mecha anime. Like I said, with Aaron, I was probably first exposed to it through Power Rangers. As a kid, I had like the Megazords from like the original series, and I think that's kind of where I fell in love with the general aesthetic. Then that, you know, that whole like, I think like combining and putting the whole Zord, and I think like the most appealing thing to Mecha to me was that like they had like a like almost like a humanoid type of look. I think that's another big thing with Mecha, like a lot of them kind of, and like I said, this is more of like an acquired taste because some people don't like their Mechas to look humanoid. Some of them, you know, some people like them to look more like a beast or whatever. But I think for me, it was always like that humanoid-esque look. I think that's why I like Gundam a lot, is because they have a human-like appearance. But that I was first exposed to it through there. And then through Toonami, yes, there was like the Gundam Wing. There was also Zoids, which Zoids is a very slept-on, underrated mecha show as well. But I think the biggest thing I just fell in love with is the designs. So it's definitely like, or like even like, I even like some of the model kits. Like I just recently pre-ordered the Nirvash from Eureka 7.
Yo.
So like even designs like the Nirvash and like from, and like the Evangelion, like the Evangelion suits from Neon Genesis Evangelion, which I feel like is the most titular of like,
I was gonna say my next question was gonna be, what do you think was the most pivotal mecha anime? And I would also agree that it's probably Evangelion, even though Gundam has such a large influence. But like Evangelion, I think what's special about Evangelion is that Evangelion took things like Gundam and the mechas that were around at the time, and it kind of flipped the script on it. So like Gundams are like these big, beefy, like masculine robots. And then Evangelion, they're like these slender, almost ballet figurinas. They're terrifying. They're still creepy as shit, but they're way more, I guess, feminine, for lack of a better word. They're skinnier. They're more gangly. They're very off-putting. They were fascinating.
They definitely feel more alien in design.
Yeah.
I agree with all the points.
Yeah.
It's Gundam.
I mean, if you were to ask me now what I like the most, I like Gundam. But I like Gundam for more than just out of the mecha designs now, as I've gotten older. But to really boil it down, I think it was just super And it's all the cool different things you can do with the genre. Like, you got G Gundam, where it's like all like a martial arts tournament, and like you just throw fisticuffs. But then you have like the super, and then like I'm a huge fan of anything space related. So like 00 is like all the suits are kind of like space themed. So they're all more like they like the curvature and stuff is like a little, they're a little more rounder in certain areas. Like it's there's so many different things you can do with the genre.
You got Darling and the Franks, where they like children have to get in compromising positions in order to make the machines work.
We already been there. To be fair,
the first half of Darling in the Franks wasn't too bad. It was
actually, and it's consensual writing of one another.
I actually like the back half of the show better.
That back half was ass.
It was wild. I kind of liked it, but bro, the messaging
turned into
was
a
always
statue.
Yeah.
And then she turned into a waifu. What?
Yeah, messaging of the show is always very strange to me. I never really quite understood what the show wanted you to think, but the first part of the show was what made me go, ew, what the fuck am I watching? They like literally moan and the machine powers on.
That was the interesting part.
That's how I turn on my robot, if you know what
FBI,
I'm
saying. where you at?
The first half was the interesting part because it was the whole like story of like Hero and Zero Two, like their whole little story, like weaving together and coming to an end. The rest of it was just a bunch of teenage hormones and aliens.
That's if we're trying to define mecha, I think that would have been a better definition. Teenage hormones and mecha suits.
Teenage hormone and aliens.
See, that's I disagree. I don't think that is the thing, and I think that's a really thing. Like something I wanted to bring up is that while I think most people look at the mecha series and they think what I want out of the mecha series, which is just giant robots punching each other.
Yeah.
But they would be surprised to find that generally mecha anime has, more often than not, a deeper meaning. Most Gundam series are about war and the horrors of it and the trials of war. And that's going from like Gundam original to like the most recent series like Iron Blooded Orphans, which is literally about a bunch of war orphans. Who are now mercenaries. And then, of course, Evangelion is all about, like, whatever you want it to be, really, based on, from what I understand, the ending film you pick.
It has a lot of interesting depth to it. Also, there's a new film. There's a new film by Netflix, or it's being hosted by Netflix. I'm actually really curious to see it. I didn't know that they were going to add anything more to the story. It's just, I don't know. There's a lot you can take from Evangelion, but it's mostly about people. The angry dogs on
bears. I might
need
to get the door. Give me a second.
But I will say, I was being a bit facetious. There's way more to mecha anime than more than meets the eye. There's more to mecha anime than what's on the surface, which is the technological kind of fetishization. Because it is weird because, like, I think you both would agree that, like, mecha anime has this kind of love for mech stuff or tech stuff, but at the same time seeks to criticize its use and generally the world around it. It's always about, like, using tech to make a statement on humanity. Is how I would go about saying.
Have we gotten to the part where we say that plugging in your giant robot is stupid?
Not yet.
No, we Not got yet. To the part I... where Aaron made a Transformers joke.
I was saying that mecha anime is more than meets the eye. Which, another Western property that was basically just stolen from Japan. That one was really just, okay, we need to repurpose these toys.
Like that's where they came from. It's really interesting because it has led to, like with Macross and Robotech, there's tons of issues because they're the same toy line.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like they were like differently it. Like dubbed and made and stuff. It's very funny.
It's kind of funny how many mechas are basically just like toy selling properties. They were like, the shows still make great statements and interesting themes and stuff, but like behind the scenes most of the time it's like, we gotta sell these toys. We need new toys. Can you make a new mech? It's like, yeah, I guess we could do that.
Well, I mean, yeah, like that's where like this fellow comes from. This is my Lubu Gundam, which is from a web series of Gundams all about the Romance of the Three Kingdoms.
My God,
yes.
I mean, the only two Gundams that I have built are this and Build Burning, which is from an anime that is literally to like help bring a younger audience into Gunpla, which is wild.
I kind of wanted to. When I was reading for this, I pulled out that book I was talking to you about because I actually kept running into it while doing research. But the book's a bit outdated, so like some of this stuff might not be applicable. But when it's talking about mecha, it brings up three animes that are pretty famous. Scott, you're actually deeply familiar with one of them and introduced me to one of them. They talk about Bubblegum Crisis. I don't know if any of you have ever had any experience with Bubblegum Crisis. It's Bubblegum Crisis, and then they made a film called Bubblegum Crash, which, from the way it's describing it, actually sounds pretty interesting. I do want to give it a chance.
I think it's Evangelion, a little more Ghost in the Shell, if I recall.
Yeah, probably. Then there's Evangelion, which we've kind of discussed a little already. And then the last one is Guyver.
Not a mecha anime. Wrong.
It actually is. It's a mechanical suit that he pilots.
No, it's a bioorganic suit. It's not a mech.
Yes, that counts.
No, it's a bio. Yeah. It's completely bioorganic. There's nothing mechanical in that suit. The only mechanical part of the suit is the control metal.
You can get titular. Just say that's the same with Evangelion. They're creatures.
Yeah, but they're giant robots that have to be plugged in.
Control those fucking things.
Because they're like, they're the piloted like mechs. Like, I think there's enough thing, like enough. I think it's Evangelion is a spin on the mech thing. Guyver is a spin on Sentai. It is a dark take of a Sentai show, I would say.
I will say that this person's definition of mecha is a bit more broad in the sci-fi genre. But it always has to do with tech and kind of the underlying principles. But yeah,
go watch Guyver, everyone.
But I don't know. So like, I would say that Evangelion's probably one of the most pivotal mechas, but obviously you guys would also say Gundam is a big one.
Yeah, I would say
that might define the genre for like larger audiences.
I think Gundam is the biggest one. Undoubtedly, because Gundam is, like, the one that most people would know of. Even if you're not an anime fan, there's a good chance that you might be like, that's one of them Gundam robots. Because, like, it's lots of different animes, Gunplas are becoming increasingly common, you can buy them in frickin' Barnes & Noble and sometimes, like, Target. It's the biggest brand, it's got the most series, it has just the most coverage, right? It's everywhere.
It's a big net, yeah.
Yeah, for as much as I dislike Evangelion, Evangelion is, like, the high art piece of mecha, I think, and it's the one that...
Ironically, it's, like, it's a spin on mecha, but it ends up becoming a defining, like, a genre-defining piece.
Yeah.
It became mecha in its pursuit to kind of change the genre. Because so much, like, it's not just the designs of the mecha in Evangelion, but the story aspect is very different in terms of how it handles its characters and obviously how it handles its ending.
Mm-hmm.
It refuses to kind of fall in some of the cliches of the other animes of its genre. And ultimately, it's way more about the people than the mechs ever get coverage on. Like, the mechs are such a small piece of that anime. Like, and honestly, we don't even see them fight for a lot of that thing. It's usually them just undergoing psychological trauma every time they're in one of those suits. Because, like, unlike a lot of the others, it's not you piloting something. It is you being intertwined with it, feeling its pain, and so many things that it's just like, why? That sounds like a bad idea. Yeah. The concepts that are being played with there are a bit different. It's a bit more of a cynical take on technology than something like Gundam is. Even though Gundam is about war and has a cynical humanist perspective, ultimately the Gundams are machines. Like, they're tools. They are being piloted as tools of war, right? They're not like, you're not linking with the machine in a real sense. And I feel like that has a lot to do with Japan's kind of concept of machines in general. Like,
that might have, I feel like Sharif had something to say on this one.
That might, yeah, I mean, there might be Gundams now that is the case. I don't know.
No. You're fine. I mean, you're fine. And there's like, and no, you bring up some really good points. And like, the biggest thing with Evangelion is that Evangelion is a big subversion of what a lot you would find in like a regular Gundam, like, you know, in like a Gundam anime or just any other mecha. But I think my biggest draw to mecha isn't just like, as much as like I do tout, like, as far, you know, the kits and stuff, but like the reason why I don't like, I only like, I don't build like every kit, I just build the ones that I like, is it's just because like they're, for me, it's that it's not, yeah, they're tools of war, but it's like when you see it, or like when you watch the anime, it's like, what does that like stand for me? Like Hero Yui, like we all, like for those who like who watch Gundam Wing, we all kind of know Hero Yui's like struggle. So like it's you know, it's always kind of like that representation of like it's kind of crazy because like the Gundams they kind of evolve past being just a tool. It becomes like a reflection of that character.
Right.
The biggest one for me would probably, and the only reason I bring up Iron Blooded Orphans, not because it's like one of the latest in like the long line of Gundam like mainline series, but it does actually perfectly encapsulate kind of what Gundam is and then what it isn't, and it does it both beautifully in its first and second season, whereas the first season is the very standard Gundam approach where it's about these orphan kids, but it's about shipping Cudelia, which she's like this Mars representative to Earth, so that way she can fight for Mars's independence. So like in the first season, it's very much kind of like this underdog kind of story. It's, you know, it's pretty much like an underdog kind of story where these literal children, orphans, are literally fighting for their own independence, and they're trying to get their one best shot of fighting for that independence to Earth. You know, she's like a daughter of like a very high like diplomatic kind of hierarchy type of thing. But it's really cool because the Gundam suit, like the mobile suits that they actually use in Gundam, which is funny because when IBO first came out, a lot of the IBO suits got a lot of flack because they were so alienated from what everything else that came before, like, you know, like the Wing Zero. I'm gonna push Wing Zero over here to the edge. He's taking all my screen. Maybe I can do it like, okay, whatever. But I think the biggest one is if you look at the character Mikazuki, which he's kind of the Daruto, the Daruto antagonist, like the second most important character. Mm-hmm. He really isn't like the main character, because if you ask me who the main character is, I think it's Orga, which is his best friend. But everything you kind of see is through Mika's eyes, and the only reason I bring that up is that Mika is basic. He is he is just a fighter. He is just a trained killer. Whatever Orga orders him to do, he just does. And it's representative with his link with Barbatos, because he's actually intrinsically connected to Barbatos through the Ala Vinyana system, which is like this thing that's installed on their back. But he's actually literally connected to the Barbatos. And I really love the lore of it. I really love the lore of it because in the second season, not like they get to where they want to, because their whole thing is about finding their place. And it's crazy how they become the good guys, and then in season two they actually become the bad guys because they try and fast track their road to success. They pick fights that they shouldn't have needed to pick. instead of just taking the tried and true method, they get punished for it. So it's cool how it's reflected in Barbatos, because the more Mika is sacrificing to try and get to their goal, Barbatos is literally taking away parts of Mika's body. So every time Mika really gets in a really dangerous fight, like if Barbatos loses an arm, Mika actually loses like a loss of like his arm or something when he's not piloting Barbatos. But when he's piloting it, he has full control over himself. So it's almost kind of, and it's crazy too, because all of the Gundams in IBO are actually named after devils. So he's literally making a deal with the devil. I could talk about this ad nauseum, but it's really cool how Mika, like, and even Mika gets the nickname on the battlefield is just known as the devil, because he fights so ruthlessly and he doesn't care. So it's cool how they become reflections of each other and how they kind of mirror each other in Mecha. And I think that's probably one of the biggest things I've kind of taken away is kind of how those suits reflect their personalities and reflect their ideals. So yeah. it's always about a clash of ideals. And I feel like you can always find that in most mechas, even in things like Zoids and stuff like that. Like, you know, hero suits are normally like blue and white, and you know, they have very pure colors, and like the enemies always have darker colored suits and stuff like that. So there's a lot of symbolism that goes on, but like it's cool. And I think that's one of the biggest things I like about mecha going forward. It's not just the cool designs, it's just like how they parallel with their machines, how it becomes like an extension of like what they believe in. So that's my two cents. That's my spiel. That's my TED talk.
It's a good point. Like, I think that you'll find that across a lot of fiction when you have piloted inanimate objects. And like, this is the case in the real world too. Like, it's the reason that pirates and sailors call their ships, like they gender their ships and have like a name for it. And they endow it with a certain personality that's kind of reflected back in the way they deal with it. And you'll find that across fiction too. Like, obviously an easy example would be like the Millennium Falcon in Star Wars, you know, is this broken down ship that's more than what it seems. And it always, you know, comes through. Much like Han Solo, who's this very criminal figure who comes through for them. So, you know, it's kind of a case of like both. It's both an intentional design, but also an accidental just kind of reflection that happens when we're dealing with tools, when we're dealing with large piloted tools. Scott, you were going to say something too.
Yeah, I was just going to say that is what Sharif's been talking about, has been a thing with Gundam since the beginning. Like, if you look at the original Gundam, the titular one, it is the most plain suit in the entire series, I think. It's the stock one. It's smaller than all the other mechs they fight throughout the entire series. Like, everything is bigger. Like, Goofs, Zaku's, Sazabi, you know, Queble, like, they're all way bigger than Gundam. He is small, he is simple, and it's only as Amuro going from this, literally just a kid who happens to be just smart enough to read his dad's manual and pilot the Gundam, to becoming a full like warrior and war hero, that you start to see him get new things. Like, he gets the bazooka, he gets his shield, he learns how to use the sword, he literally gets more weapons and more utility as he goes, and then by the time you get to the sequel series, and he's in more advanced suits. He's in, like, the Gundam Mark II and things like that. You get to see the full evolution. Each of that line of Gundams, each hero has more and more to him. And as they need more to equip themselves, they add more stuff to better combat whatever situation they are. And it's always a direct correlation to, like, their growth or, you know, need to struggle. And I guess Barbados is interesting because it's more like he strips himself down and just takes the bare minimum at all times. He is raw.
He is raw. That and like, yeah. It's just raw because they literally just bash with like huge maces and spears. Like, it's very barbaric in its approach, and that's what they were kind of going for.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's cool. It's cool.
So Zoids are fun.
Love that transition.
I guess, like, I don't know. The Zoids, it's just a thing. I think it gets forgotten. I don't. Zoids is still around in Japan. They do still get series. I mean, they had the Zoids Blast thing, which is but yeah,
they have Zoids on the. They have a new Zoids game on the Switch.
Yeah, it's from that series. It's Zoids Blast or whatever.
See, I look at Zoids and I'm just like, wait, this isn't Power Rangers? Because it just looks like Power Rangers. Is that happen to you guys too, though? Like, I feel like mech is kind of... It's like when people don't know what Pokemon specifically are, and they'll see, like, a Digimon and be like, what Pokemon is that? Mm. Where it all just kind of, like, feels very similar to one another.
So, I think the interesting thing with Zoids is that I believe Zoids was always meant for a slightly younger audience.
That's the vibe I'm getting.
Then yeah. Gundam, like, especially the new one. Like, the new one is very obviously, like, a Saturday morning kids cartoon. The weird one is, I think the first anime, which is not the one we got first, because we got Zoids New Century first, but the original one is a little more like a war anime, where it's a world, like, after a war, and there's, like, a lot of political stuff. It has, like, some kids, like, adventure-ness to it, where, like, the main character has, like, a smaller Zoid, and he's going on, like, adventure. But Zoids and G Gundam.
I was going to say, was that the one with the blue liger or the white liger? I can't remember. It's been so long.
I don't think the first
one was the one with the blue one, I think.
Yeah, the blue liger. I remember that one.
Yeah, the white one was my favorite, though.
Because New Century is the one with the white liger. And that's. So, like, this gets into the kind of, like, mecha stuff that I tend to be into because I am a much more, like, action-oriented person when it comes to this stuff. Like, I just want to watch my action figures get smashed together. But, like, Zoids New Century is all about that. The entire series is a tournament arc. It's literally a game that they, like, a tournament that they compete in, and it's kind of interesting. But the big thing with Zoids is they're all animals. Generally, like, more prehistoric type things. It's like, it's a liger, it's like, you know, a lot of dinosaurs... things like that, a big ass turtle.
Cuz would have the one with the big turtle.
Like, have the turtle. What is it, like, a snapping turtle?
No, like, I love turtles, but dog, give me the liger, dog.
Yeah.
That liger, that white liger is lit, dog.
I like the blue liger.
Specifically the blue one.
That's the one that's, like, the blue fast. One.
Yeah, the blue one's fast. The orange one, I think, is the one that has the swords on it, and the green one is like the fuck you with everything around you, about to blow out all the shit up, but slow.
It's just guns.
That's the downside. I just like the blue one. I think the blue and white looks good.
One of my favorite, like, mecha, like, weird, quirky designs is the raptors in Zoids, just because the tails are sniper rifles, so they're designed so the pilots can flip around into the tail, and they post up somewhere and just shoot with this, like, rail gun. It's great. I love it. It's just the most unexpected thing. It's very cool. I don't have a ton to say about Zoids. I just think it's cool. It's like another pillar where it didn't blow up in the States. Because it was like a cheesier anime. It was definitely a little more comedy and silly. Gundam generally hits pretty hard, and there's more of them. So, like, Gundam Wing ended, and then we were getting G Gundam. And then when G Gundam was over, we started getting OG Gundam and everything. So, like, they always had a new one to give us because they had so much back catalog. But Zoids is really just the two different Zoids cartoons, and I feel like it kind of faded into obscurity pretty rapidly.
But, like, even if you told somebody, like, if you showed somebody a picture of a Zoid, they'd be like, oh yeah, they kind of, like, get it. You know, it's very much, like, in line with their ideas of mecha and these kinds of animes. Probably because they saw Power Rangers at some point. Like, I think that's, like, how a lot of Western audiences were introduced to the concept of mecha without necessarily being introduced to mecha anime.
I just realized that you guys keep talking. I'm fixing something.
Fixing.
I was about to say, is he about to say, I just realized we weren't live?
No. a change. Here's a quick look behind the curtain. Twitch is not always the best system, and it doesn't always like to work. And I made the changes to our category, and they just didn't take place. It's not a big deal.
Yeah, no biggie.
There's no biggie. No biggie.
Well, are there... So, I guess, kind of moving into the future, because, you know, like, mecha's easy to understand through the kind of defining animes that represent it. Evangelion, Gundam, Power Rangers, which is an anime, but to an extent... what are some mechas that you guys are excited about? Like, is there any that are operating right now or in the near or that are close to this point in time that have kind of, I don't know, made you excited about the genre again?
So the funny thing is for as much as like I like the way Gundams look and I do have a few model kits and stuff, I'm actually not that big of a mech guy. I struggle with a lot of mech animes. Because again, it's one of those things where like my expectation set from being a little kid, because it's just my little kid brain remembering it wrong, is I always expect more action and a little more to it. And I don't mind like a good plot, but I do want like cool scenes intermixed with it, right? And more often than not, it's not, especially with a Gundam, you're not going to get that, right? It's going to be very heavy stuff. Like, I tried to watch Gundam Hathaway, beautifully animated movie that's up on Netflix, and I just couldn't get into it.
I haven't gotten to watch it yet.
It's gorgeous.
It's gorgeous.
But, like, I couldn't get into it, because I was like, I don't want this, like, serious war story right now. I want something a little, like, I don't mind it being, like, a serious war story if I'm getting some cool fights and some really cool, like, moments, but those are always saved to, like, the end.
Yeah.
And so I really struggle with mecha.
Yeah. And I can see that's why you like the Build Fighters and the Build, like, Diver series, which I love those too, because it just lets me turn my brain off and it's just like, it's a game. We can all just smash each other in the face. Like, it's very much just like entry level, just pure bliss. Yeah.
And this isn't new, but like, what about something like Gurren Lagann, which is kind of a blending of genres, but still deals with giant robots, right?
That's my favorite mech series.
Yeah.
Tengen, Toppa, Gurren Lagann. It's like what started the trigger. I think to some extent, like that is the like weird third wave start of mechs. I think that's another one of those gateway animes, right? Like that was back like in 2010 that one dropped, and I think that was like the gateway anime right before Attack on Titan became the next big one. Tengen, like Gurren Lagann, was this nice little 26 episode piece of like awesome
extremely well animated, so it kind of like had a... Oh, go ahead, Taylor.
Was it Gurren Lagann 2007?
It might have been a little really earlier, but it got like big when it went on Netflix.
Yeah.
When the hell was it on Netflix?
In 2010, because that's when I went to college.
I didn't even realize it was that old.
Yes.
Oh, no, yes. It's up there now.
it's back there. It's back there.
Like, and like, here's the big thing. Like, here's how you can tell when like a mecha has gotten big, right? It's a silly little thing, but the Super Robot Wars games are like a staple in like mecha anime, right? They've been around since the Nintendo. Tactics mech games. We don't get many of them in the States. But, like, right after Gurren Lagann came out, Gurren Lagann started being in that game. As, like, a big deal. So, it's really cool seeing, like, something like Gurren Lagann, which is parodying this, like, the franchise, but also kind of parodying Shonen as a whole at the same time. It is all about just believing more and punching harder. But it like, specifically believing you can punch harder.
Believe in the me that believes in you.
He's in you.
Yes.
Yes, yes. I mean, I was going to say to that degree as well, like without Mecha, we wouldn't have, like, Megas XLR, which is as ridiculous as it is literally a parody of just everything about the Mecha genre.
They have like, a Voltron parody episode.
Exactly. There's a Voltron parody, there's a... They parody a lot of stuff. They parody the X-Men in one of them.
I think almost every episode.
Would you say Voltron is like the most popular one? Because there's a Voltron like reference in everything.
I was going to say Voltron has kind of a large cultural following, despite that most people don't really know what Voltron is.
There was a Rick and Morty episode about Voltron two weeks ago.
I was literally about to say that. You guys mean Go Lion?
No, they were ferrets.
They're ferrets.
Ferrets?
If you don't know, the latest season of Rick and Morty features an episode where Rick is obsessive about collecting all of the five giant mechanical ferrets so they can build a giant mech to go fight monsters with.
Like,
and then he gets like hyper-obsessed with crossing dimensions to get even more mech ferrets and make even bigger mechs to fight even bigger monsters. It's ridiculous, but like it does highlight that there is a cultural relevancy that like kind of clings on into people's minds that will get reproduced over time, with people knowing less about where it originates from, but always remembering that it's a Japanese big robot thing.
I think
they all know that.
Voltron kicked off the resurgence of the Netflix classic cartoons. Voltron was the first one they did. And then She-Ra, now He-Man.
Mm-hmm.
So, Voltron is a good series. I didn't finish it. It was too long, but it's a really interesting one. It's got some cool designs and animations and stuff.
It's always about the robots that make bigger robots idea, though.
Yes.
And that's why I say, I don't know, like, Mecha really defines Japan because, like, you don't do a Mecha reference without also referencing a bunch of Japanese stuff tied in with it.
There are multiple giant Gundam statues in Japan.
Yeah.
And I've in Singapore.
Tokyo.
And Singapore.
And also there's still this weird obsessive thing where like, wasn't there like, remember there was this big news story a long time ago that said Japan and the US were going to compete to make giant robots to fight each other. And that somehow that still has maintained relevancy because there are still articles that come out about that, about how, yes, this is still happening. We're still building giant robots to fight each other. It will happen.
I like how it's funny, too, because it keeps getting brought up, too, because the other when they had the RX-78 the statue in Japan, and then they updated it and now it like moves, they're like Japan's winning. they're training pilots as we speak.
It's getting closer.
It's okay, as long as we can find a new type before they do.
I don't know.
Oh god,
I'll say that like there are some times where I kind of have a like my spirit about mechas becomes a little reinvigorated. Like, I'll say that when Pacific Rim came out, I kind of remembered the fact that I actually do love giant robots like punching giant monsters. I think that was a really cool way of bringing that genre to a Western audience, like bringing it. Like, hey, this is the same thing, but like in a different package. Something that like we can all understand, and that again, it's you cannot untie that from Japan. Like, that's why the monsters are still named kaiju, and you know one of the main female leads is a Japanese woman. Like it's just inseparable from their identity.
The apocalypse.
Tonight we are canceling the apocalypse. God, I love Idris Elba. That dude is so cool. He's just so good in everything.
I love that movie.
Even in like The Wire, which is not something actor. I remembered. Yeah, I don't know if you guys saw Suicide Squad, but it was fun. The Suicide Squad, I apologize. Yeah. James Gunn's Suicide Squad.
I have not seen it, no.
It's fun. I really enjoy it.
So, do you guys have, like, a did you also have a favorite mecha series? Like, specific one? Like, mine is Gurren Lagann. I like, it has a really, like, good story overall, but it's also, it hits harder than you expect in the feels, but it has all of the nonsense fighting that I want. It is the perfect fusion of all the things that I desire in my robot show.
I mean, if we're gonna go there, I will probably definitely, as much as I love Gundam, I probably could watch on repeat Megas XLR for days. So, as much as it's not mecha, it is. But I just, you know what it is, man. I think Megas XLR was way ahead of its time. That's my defining statement for that show.
I agree. I think because, like, it is so much referential humor, and it came out before anime hit mainstream. So it was like, it was a joke about things from, like, recent childhood for an audience that wasn't fully getting the joke yet, because, like, they were still too young. And they were not, like, it was a niche audience on a niche audience.
Yeah, I feel like if anybody today went back and watched Megas, they'd have been like, this is gold. But no, man, I think it's got the comedy, it's got that over the topness, which I think that's what a lot of people just like when they think of mecha. It's just like, it's just kind of, oh wow, about to say this, it's just built to just be over, like, this over the top type of genre to just begin with. So there's always gonna be that level of, I guess the perfect way to put it is kind of like a realist fantasy type of thing, because it's fantasy because it's like, it's definitely like giant robots, but it's kind of grounded in this realism that, like, oh well, maybe in another 30-40 years maybe we would be at that type of level of technology, you know what I mean? So there, it's always kind of grounded in a certain approach, so I feel like it has that kind of weird charm to it, you know, where it's like, oh, this could be real, you know? So I think I've always thought about it like that. But, man, Megas is just like, it's got all the plot of, like, an anime, but, like, none of the kids. Because, like, the first episode of Megas is super, like, like, are we trying to be an anime? And it's just like, nah, fam. It's just like, nah.
There are two things that I want to talk about when we talk about Megas XLR. Three, now that I think about it. One, Coop got Megas for $2.
Yeah.
He got a giant robot for $2.
Yep.
Because it was in just a pile of trash.
It was in the $2
pile. Which takes to your point number two. How did a giant robot just get there and then just get buried in trash?
Have you seen people, like, from New Jersey?
Nobody said anything. It's like, oh, it's a giant robot.
That was the perfect counter argument. Have you been to Jersey?
Them Jersey folks, man.
Actually, no. Dog, no, Jersey, I have not, sucks, been to Jersey.
Jersey sucks, bro.
Man, hot takes on the channel just being like, Jersey fucking sucks, bro.
It's like where the universe sends its disappointment.
I thought that was Florida where you called me residing.
Taylor's reaction. He's like, oh god.
Florida.
If you are from Jersey, I'm with you.
Solidarity with the folks of Jersey.
But to my third point on Megas XLR that I recently just thought about the other day, Coop is a fucking genius.
Oh, yeah.
We gotta talk about the fact that he took a robot from the future and said, I'm gonna trick this thing out with video game logic, and I'm gonna rip off the head and put a car on it and make it and make it all work. Coop is a genius.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Who somehow spent his entire life playing video games. So let that be a lesson to all of you. Play more video games. It'll make you a super genius.
So I wanted to interject that I'm not familiar with Magus XLR. And then I looked it up and I was like, this is the fucking thing that y'all are talking about?
Bro.
Aaron's just like, what is this?
You gotta watch it. I remember seeing trailers for it.
I remember seeing trailers for it, and I was like, well, this is weird.
it's wild. It's all types of weird. It's wild. It's out there. It's crazy. But it's such a fun ride, though. It's so much fun.
But they also
debunked their entire theme song. Because the entire theme song is chicks dig giant robots. And they proved in the show that chicks do not dig giant robots.
You just haven't found the right chicks.
You haven't found the right robot.
You haven't found the right chicks.
You know, a show that none of us mentioned that I'm a little surprised about, I always kind of forget it, is Code Geass.
Oh, yeah.
Code Geass was a
lot of mecha we didn't bring up. I was waiting for like the question of what are your favorite mechas.
Yeah.
But I guess we didn't get there.
No, we haven't.
I thought that's the one that Sharif asked. He just asked it.
Well, nobody answered.
Sharif answered.
We went straight. Oh yeah,
we
nobody.
Went into a tangent.
Oh,
yeah, he, as we do.
I love tangent.
All right, let's just do a round, like a little round robin. Favorite mecha animes. We'll start with Taylor since he was like I didn't get to answer this question.
Oh god. Oh god, there's so much. Okay, all right. Off top, Big O.
Big O.
Yeah, Big O.
It's just called Big O.
Yeah, it's called Big O.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's like straight up Big O. Code Geass, Eureka 7. Shout outs to like probably my third favorite Gundam, which is probably a trash Gundam. But I think it's called like Gundam 8th MS Team, I think it's called.
Oh, I know what you're talking, yep.
I really, really like that one because one, it's Gundam, giant robots, and also romance. It's kind of like two of my favorite things put together. Let's see.
Escaflowne is the same thing.
That's one. Yeah. Escaflowne. Maybe that's why I liked it so much. I don't know, but does Outlaw Star count?
I mean, I'd count it. The spaceships have arms.
Yeah, I count it.
Spaceships have arms.
All right. Outlaw Star.
I'm so upset that I have to look up so many of these.
Well, we're giving you homework.
It's Aaron is realizing how anime illiterate he is.
No, the entire time.
Oh
just like...
my god, what's that one? Damn it, what's that one show?
Give me a description. What can you tell us about it?
It's about this like robot. I think he's like a cyborg. He's like half red, half blue.
That almost sounds like a Kamen Rider. I'm not gonna mess with you.
I think it's called Cyborg 009.
That's the red one. Yeah, they all wear the red jumpsuits in Cyborg 009.
I think I know what you're talking about. He's half red, half blue.
Yeah, Cyborg 009
is half red, half blue.
I think I know what it is. Hold on, let me look it up.
Kikaider? Is that called Kikaider?
I have no idea.
Is that it?
Mazen Kaiser is the big scary looking one with the like gold V on his head.
Oh, yeah. Fooly Cooly.
Fooly Cooly!
Fooly Cooly!
We need to bring up Fooly Cooly.
I mean,
I fucking love Fooly Cooly. I mean, Fooly Cooly is a weird edge case where you're like, do we consider this a mecha? I don't
Fooly
know.
Fooly Cooly is its own this. Thing. It gets its own
it
weird...
It gets to be its own genre. It's literally the Fooly Cooly genre.
There are three of them.
With, I do mess with Full Metal Panic.
Yo, that's what I forgot. Full Metal Panic, specifically though, Fumofu. Yeah.
Fumofu.
True.
Oh yeah, that's what.
True.
Yeah, Fumofu.
Best mech is that bear suit.
I got the Gundam people on the channel, so I'll ask. I only ever made one Gundam, and I thought it was the coolest when I was a kid, but only because it was red. It was bulky. It had a gas mask of sort. Like, it looked like it had a gas mask.
Oh,
it had,
that's
like,
this weird.
What is it?
Red Zaku.
Let me see.
Yeah, Char Zaku.
Yeah, I used to think one was the coolest. Mainly because it was red.
Yeah, a lot of people like that. Yeah, a lot of people like the red Zaku.
I name my Charmanders Char after Char the Red Comet.
Hey!
Is Red Zaku like a bad guy in the series?
Yeah, Char is always the bad guy.
Yeah, Char will infinitely always be the bad guy.
Because I always look at him and I'm like, this is probably a bad guy design.
Aaron's like, I don't think this is the good guy.
For as much as I like Red Zaku, I think Sazabi is so much cooler. Like, Sazabi is a wild looking Gundam.
Well, like, my aesthetic choices have changed a lot. I probably would like other designs a lot more now than this one, because this one to me is just very weird and bulky looking.
Yeah, so the thing is the Zakus are like the basic foot soldier Gundams.
Oh!
They're normally green, though. The red one is specifically Char Zaku. He is Char the Red Comet. It's a little more tricked out and customized to what he uses.
It's like how the clones in Star Wars have, like, the colored stripes to indicate their rank, and then, like, the really cool ones get the cool suits.
Kinda, yeah. I was gonna say the way that, like, in real life, like, when you're in, like, Special Forces, like, you can kit your M14 however you want. That's basically what Char did.
Mine's got a laser pointer.
Exactly.
You've just given away our location. Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah, I get, like, for me, like, yeah, like, Gurren Lagann, it's been a while, but like, Code Geass is definitely very enjoyable for me, and then, like, Full Metal Panic, I've watched, like, 5 times, at least. I used to borrow it from my ex-girlfriend all the time, because, like, there was no other way to watch anime back in the day. I would just be like, hey, Lar, can I borrow Full Metal Panic again, because I want to rewatch the series?
She's like, again?
I was like, yes.
What about Real Steel with Hugh Jackman?
I love Real Steel.
Actually, Real Steel is pretty fantantic.
It's a fun movie.
Rock'em Robots.
It's a cute down to earth mecha. I'll say that I do like Evangelion. Like, that's like the big one I watched. But it was, to me, Evangelion, I couldn't enjoy it until like the age I am now, because I actually had to sit down and like watch it, and I've always enjoyed the animation. Like, the animation is S tier for me. Like, I love the animation of Evangelion. The storytelling is subtle and interesting. The characters are unlikable, but like, I don't know, that makes it more interesting.
What is your issue with Evangelion? Every time this has been brought up today, it's either this.
I know what Scott's problem with it is. His problem is that the robots are plugged in. It's just that they're plugged to the wall.
Okay, this is a big thing for
that's
me.
That's the entirety of the issue?
No, I was being facetious. I definitely think that's silly, but like, there's reasoning in the lore in the series for why it exists. Like, again, I think it's silly, but there's reason, so... Like, you can make anything cool with reasoning. I don't like the characters.
No, they're all unlikable.
But that's the thing. I don't like shows with unlikable characters. Like, I don't find much of anything redeemable in Shinji. Like, that's main guy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, the main dude.
Sharif exploded.
Get in the robot.
Sharif's back.
Get in the robot.
Get in the robot, son.
I don't find anything about him, like, redeemable or likable, right? Like, even when I watched, I've never finished the series. I got like 8 episodes in, and even like after he resolves to, like, I'm gonna fight, I'm gonna do this, he keeps backsliding. Like, there's no growth in him ever in all of these episodes I watch, and I'm like, why do you still suck? Why do you suck more now, halfway through the series, than you did at the beginning? Like, you keep...
He's a child with daddy issues. Okay. He has failures.
Okay, so you jumped off pretty early, so you missed, like, the, like, most awkward scene.
Most horrifying scene.
Like, let's not talk about that scene.
The horrifying scene. He missed the most awkward scene of all time.
I need to know.
Watch the show and you'll know.
I refuse. I've tried. I've tried like 4 times because I was genuinely... You can ask Aaron because I think it was around when I visited him in Texas. I was really excited that they were putting the whole series on Netflix because Evangelion is always...
With the movies.
Yeah, with the movies. Evangelion's always kind of hard to find and... I was so hyped to watch it because I remember trying to watch it in college. I think I was a little scared of the mechs when I was a kid, like a little kid, because I was scared of everything.
They are creepy.
They are scary, though. Yeah,
they're freaky as shit.
And it came on like Toonami like at midnight, so it was too late, generally, for me to be allowed to go sit in the living room and watch it. And then I tried to watch it in college, and I just wasn't feeling it. Especially I was coming off Gurren Lagann and going into Evangelion, and like that's.
Yeah, that's a hard transition. That's very right hard.
That's some tonal whiplash. Yeah.
That's whiplash.
And like, I was also watching it at what was like a very like low point in life right then. I had a weird misunderstanding with a roommate who was trying to sue me over something I didn't fully do. It was very dumb. Yeah, it's a story for another time, but, like,
My Evangelion watching experience was ruined when my roommate tried to sue me.
Because, like, it was just, like, something I was watching to try and take my mind off it, and I hated it. But I tried to go back.
Take your mind off of life's troubles.
No, but, like, it was just, like, the guy who became my new roommate was like, hey, have you ever seen this? Like, maybe we'll watch this and we'll hang out. But anyway... I tried to watch it when it came to Netflix, and I got like halfway or so through the series. I don't know how many episodes is it? Is it a 13 or a 26?
26.
I think 26 sounds more right than 13.
26. I think I got to like episode 8 to 10, somewhere in that neck of the woods, and I just couldn't do it. I was like, I don't like these characters. I don't really understand everybody's weird machinations. I don't understand the motivation of anyone because everybody is just trying to dick over everyone else when the world is going to fucking end if you don't pull your dicks out of your ass and just work together.
Jesus Christ.
And I was like, I don't understand anything in this show. It wasn't fun for me.
I will say that like Evangelion does something a little more bold in terms of... Because like one of the big things is like in a lot of mech things, it's usually like teenagers or children who are piloting these things. Sometimes they're adults, like not always. Sometimes it's fully dependent on the fact that they're children, which is always an interesting mechanic they throw in. But like, Evangelion takes that and goes like, teenagers suck. Like they're all horrible. They only care about themselves, and they all have bad issues that would probably not function well in wartime when they need to pull their shit together the most.
And I get that, but, like, realistically, right? Like, and historically, like, there had been times where teenagers have fought in wars.
Well, Japan is the most experienced with that, because they specifically recruited teenagers and children to fight in World War II. Like, that's where a lot of the tropes of anime stem from, is the fact that children were the ones fighting this war. In a way that had not been required of children in the past. And a lot of that was like they would go to special schools. They would be taught there basically through their entire teenage years is like how to fight war and how to be a warrior. That's why shonen animes are usually so reliant on a school of some type where they're getting tossed into adult situations constantly and having to participate in like life or death tournaments. And we don't get that in the US. Like there are some versions of children doing adult things, but it's never like to the extent that Japan makes it, where Japan's like, this will be bloody and horrifying. America's like Kim Possible or something, or
and like, or I get that, and that's why I do like a lot of anime. I think a lot of anime represents things very interesting and in a fun way, where it's like, and I think, but I like, I would say I think something like Iron Blooded Orphans is more interesting to me, where it's still like kids in war fighting, or even like original Gundam, where like Amuro Ray is just a guy, and like he's trying to fight because he wants to save everybody, and he wants to save White Base and, you know, the community he has left, and he's trying, but he's not good at it, and he's frustrated, and he's, you know, Amuro Ray is very much a teenager in that show. Like, he acts like one.
Yeah, in the
But he has a set of balls at some point, and Shinji never does, and I don't think it's fun.
Also, like,
yeah,
Shinji, the whole thing about Shinji is, like, the last two episodes, and I know you've heard this before, is that the last two episodes are this weird, bonkers, psychological probe of the main character. It's just basically like, here is this weird, outlandish representation of the mind of this character, where his motivations as a person are being questioned by his own internal monologue. And it's weird. It's abstract as fuck. But it is interesting because it gives you an outline for why this character is such a scared little shit.
Shinji is one of the tropes that I brought up that I don't like.
Right.
When we did the trope, he's the overly crying protagonist. Like,
even though he doesn't really cry that much, like, he cries a few times, but he's not always crying. He's just depressed.
Deku, stop crying.
Deku.
I think that's what we should probably begin to wrap this up, because we're just over 2 hours, and I know Sharif has to go to work at some point today. So, does anybody have any final closing thoughts before we wrap up this week's episode on Mecha?
Ghost in the Shell.
Ghost in the Shell.
It's another one.
In the Shell. Are you the ghost in the shell?
Are you the ghost in the shell? Mecha's fun. Mecha's fun. I think it's definitely a genre that I think can be overlooked a lot, because it's just like, okay, cool, yeah, giant robots. But I feel like it's definitely one where I feel like there is something for everybody. Whether, I mean, outside of like just the whole robot genre, you know, especially if you're into things with that have like more dedicated stories, or if you want something that's, you know, a little on the fun side, I feel like there is something as far as like mecha related. There's something for everybody, but It's a cool genre all in all. It's definitely my favorite.
Where is my mecha romantic comedy?
That's Full Metal Panic.
That's next. You know what? That's next.
No, like, that's Full Metal Panic.
Oh, good. Yeah, I'm going to watch that.
Wasn't there like some scene in some like anime where it was like this guy like asked a girl out and he gave her a little model Gundam?
I don't know, but I need to see that.
Like that. I think that's a thing. Like he was like, I like you. And then she was like, And then he was like, I have this little Gundam for you. And she was like, oh my God, let's go out.
The next time I ask your girl out, I will go build her one of the little teddy
Here's
bear
a Gundam.
Ones.
Let's all go pick up chicks and Gundams.
Damn Skippy, because chicks dig giant robots. This has been the Super Otaku Show. As always, I am joined by Taylor Made Otaku. You can find him over on Twitter and on YouTube at Taylor Made Otaku. The Shooting Star Sheriff himself, Sharif, also over on the YouTubes. And my Roman half, Aaron. We're over at Roman Bear Productions on YouTube. And we're on Twitter at Super Otaku Show. That's it for this week. If you guys like mechs, let us know what your favorite mecha series is and why Evangelion is better, because you guys are all going to yell at me for it on the internet. Until next time, guys, so long.
It's okay to not like it.